from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. In this next hour of Forum, we'll begin the hour with a discussion about ongoing concerns over the flu and what can be done about it. As of mid-January, according to state reports, at least 30 flu-related deaths have been reported in the Bay Area. Then at 10:30, we meet local fiction writer and Stanford creative writing teacher Molly Antipole, whose recent published volume of short stories, which was a decade in the making, is called The Un-Americans. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program, second hour. And in this hour, we want to talk about the flu. There were 147 flu-related deaths in California as of Friday. That's according to the state's health department. 10 times the number killed by this time last year. And the flu is even striking young and healthy adults. Sacramento County has the highest number of flu deaths in the state so far, with 21 people under the age of 65 dead as a result of the flu. And we want to talk with experts about how to stay healthy this flu season and about the effectiveness of this year's flu shot, among other things. And joining us is Dr. Yvonne Maldonado, who is chief of infectious disease and professor of pediatrics at Stanford. She's with the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Maldonado.
Morning.
Good morning to you. Also say good morning to Dr. James Watt, who is with us this morning from Sacramento. He's chief of the Division of Communicable Disease Control with the California Department of Public Health. Dr. Watt, good to have you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning, and thank you. And let me begin with you just in terms of getting the picture here. I know these deaths under the age of 65 are running ahead of last year, but a lot of these, the vast majority of them, as I understand it, have underlying medical conditions. So at this point, I guess it's really unclear to say if it's disproportionate to last year?
Well, we're certainly seeing more deaths reported than last year, and some of our other indicators of flu activity are showing increased levels compared to last year and above what we would expect for this time of year. So those would include people visiting their doctor for influenza-like illness or people being hospitalized for something that looks like influenza.
And Dr. Maldonado, pregnant women are at risk. This seems to be affecting younger people. We're talking about H1N1 here.
Yes, and actually what we've seen is that it's certainly not as severe as what we saw when this strain first began circulating in 2009, but it is disproportionately affecting children and pregnant women more than other strains have.
And Dr. Watt, the big mystery is why has H1N1 resurfaced? Until now, there were other strains that were much more dominant, right?
That's a good question. We certainly know that when pandemics occur, and there were four pandemics or worldwide epidemics in the last century, that particular strain, that pandemic strain, tends to take over for the rest of a number of decades, and we are seeing that maybe happening with the 2009 strain, where it was co-circulating, and now it's clearly become the dominant strain. So we, just based on past history, it may wind up being the dominant strain for some time.
And Dr. James Watt, a particularly violent strain.
Well, that's what we're seeing this year, that it is a more severe flu season, and almost all of the deaths that we're seeing so far are showing up with the H1N1 strain.
I know that the National Institute of Health is actually infecting dozens of volunteers with a live virus, about 9 days in quarantine for them, and they're getting $3,000 for this. So is that kind of study, do you think, presents some hope on the horizon here?
Well, I'm not familiar with that one, Dr. Maldonado.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know about that study. I know that we have done, in conjunction with the NIH, we and others have done studies looking at high-risk populations. For example, we were involved with studies looking at the effectiveness of the flu vaccines in certain populations, such as pregnant women, HIV-infected children, and others. I'm not quite sure what those studies would be about. They may be looking at transmission or virulence factors.
Can I get one of you to talk, maybe perhaps you, James Watt, about how this is spread, what we know about the way it's spread?
Sure. Influenza is spread by respiratory secretions. So someone who has influenza may be shedding the virus in their respiratory secretions, and when they cough or sneeze, those that mucus is expelled from their body, and people who are in close proximity to them can breathe that in or get that on their hands and then perhaps touch their nose or their mouth. It really requires fairly close proximity and for those secretions to be passed from one person to another. There are certain settings where you can imagine the exchange of respiratory secretions would be more common, places like preschools, family settings, things like that.
Face mask advisable if you haven't had the vaccine and you're near someone who has the flu?
Well, what we advise is something called social distancing. We advise people who have symptoms of the flu to stay home and keep their viruses to themselves, try to avoid being in close contact with people who are sick. The value of a face mask is really debated right now. It's not clear how much that may help, although we do recommend, there are recommendations in healthcare settings that are very specific for different kinds of masks.
And Dr. Maldonado, if I could go to you just to talk about, well, the flu vaccine supply and also about the fear that many people have, which many people, I think, are probably miseducated on this. There are people who are afraid of getting a shot, period, but a lot of them think there's an active virus that they're going to get into their system.
Yeah, there is a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about the influenza vaccine, and I think one of the major issues is, first of all, the vaccine is very effective. It is generally, in healthy people under 65, it's 70 to 90% effective, but the effectiveness really does drop if you're a frail elderly person or if you have underlying immune disease. So I think that may be part of the concern as well, is it really going to work? However, in healthy people, the vast majority of the population, it's very effective. And I think the other issue is that people think they get, quote-unquote, the flu when they've, in fact, there's many other, we actually in our institution test for 8 different respiratory viruses during this season, and we find that many of the people coming in who think they have the flu actually wind up having other viral infections. So they say, well, see, I got the vaccine and I still got sick. Well, those are, I would say, the only, even in the peak of the season, only 25% of people coming in have a positive test for the flu. So they may have other viruses as well.
Well, the virus is strongly recommended for anyone over 6 months of age by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Yes, actually. And then I'm on the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Infectious Disease, and we actually have endorsed those recommendations for pediatricians or others caring for children. And we've been able to successfully show that the vaccine is safe in children as young as 6 months of age. And really, anybody who doesn't have certain underlying conditions should be getting vaccinated to help prevent the disease.
Well, this is only a half-hour segment. Writer Mary Antipole will be joining us in the next segment of this hour. So it's an excellent opportunity, excellent opportunity for those of you who are listening to have questions you might have answered about the flu. And again, there were 147 flu-related deaths in California. That was as of Friday, according to the state health department. That's 10 times the number last year. So if you have a question or a comment, we welcome your involvement in the program now. Our toll-free number is available. Feel free to join us with any questions or comments you might have. It's 866-733-6786. That's toll-free again, 866-733-6786. And there are a number of other ways you can be interactive with the program. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments that you might have onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And again, we're talking with Dr. James Watt, who is Chief of the Division of Communicable Disease Control with the California Department of Public Health. He's with us from the state capitol in Sacramento. And Dr. Ivan Maldonado, Chief of Infectious Disease and Professor of Pediatrics at Stanford, and with the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital. She's with us from the Stanford campus. We're going to go to your calls and emails just as soon as we can here. I just wondered, Dr. Watt, if I could ask you, though, about the figures that we keep seeing. I mean, just in terms of public health, there seems to be a lag between county figures and state figures.
That's correct. When there's case of influenza that's a fatal case, the first information comes to a local health department, and they gather some additional information and confirm that this is really a flu-related fatality, then they would pass that information on to us. So we're always a little bit behind in the reporting, and sometimes there's a little bit of a discrepancy between numbers that counties are reporting and what we're reporting on in our weekly flu report.
And could I get either of you to talk about this phenomenon called the cytokine storm and what that is?
So the cytokine storm, cytokines are proteins that are produced by immune cells in the body, and they're produced by various different kinds of cells, and there are many of them. They are actually one of the body's first lines of defenses against infections and other inflammatory processes. They cause an inflammatory response, which in general can help kill an organism or prevent it from spreading. But the term cytokine storm is just a colloquialism to indicate that in some cases, for example, H1N1, there are data that in mice, the H1N1 can actually trigger a really intense inflammatory response compared to the other influenza strains that have circulated. So, in fact, your body is a victim of its own inflammatory reaction once you've gotten this infection, and it's a very exuberant response to trying to prevent further spread of the virus.
And again, Dr. Yvonne Maldonado is professor of pediatrics at Stanford. Let me go to your calls, and we'll begin with Catherine from San Jose. Catherine, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. This is my question. I have a 7.5-year-old son who is highly allergic to gelatin, and so he cannot have the flu vaccine, or at least he can't this year because it has gelatin in it. And I'm just wondering about your comments and thoughts about how to help him.
Yvonne Maldonado.
Yes, so there are a number, unfortunately, there are a number. We do have more vaccines today more than ever. We have over 12 different kinds of vaccines available, but most of them use gelatin in the final processing of the vaccine. So in that situation, he should, again, be very careful about being around others. One really easy thing you can do is have everyone in the household vaccinated, so that because the household transmission is probably going to be a very potent source of infection, since the virus is a high load of virus may be there in the household. But again, avoiding making sure that schoolmates and the school knows that he could be at risk. Hand washing for him, keeping away from kids who are coughing, what we call respiratory etiquette, and we actually have a little handout that I can give to Michael to post on your website that talks about how you can do some simple things to prevent infection.
And thank you for the call, Catherine. I'm wondering if either of you could comment on just the status of the flu vaccine supply. I know Saline Solutions are in short supply.
Yes, we've been monitoring the vaccine supply pretty closely, and we have not heard of any significant shortages of the vaccine. It does appear to be widely available. There may be a particular pharmacy or outlet that is in short supply for a day or two, but there should be other venues in the nearby community that do have the vaccine available.
I want to bring more of your calls on, and we'll go to Ben in Monterey. Ben, join us. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Great program. I had a question. I'm kind of feeling a little bit under the weather now with the possibility of it being a flu. I'm wondering if it's still recommended to get a vaccine or if that will increase the chances of getting more sick.
Yeah, Dr. Maldonado.
The vaccine will never make you sicker and if you have some respiratory symptoms. And I would recommend that you really do go in and get the vaccine even at this point, even if you think you might have something that sounds like the flu.
Good luck to you, Ben, and thank you for the call. And here's another caller with an allergy. Emily, join us. Hi.
Hi. I work with students, and I have an egg allergy. All of the pharmacies in my area and my doctor's offices all say that they don't have the egg-free vaccine. Where can I find it?
That's a good question. You could go to the CDC website. It's called flu.gov, flu.gov. And they have a really nice flu tracker where they can actually find your location if you give them your GPS signal, and they can find pharmacies in your area, and then you can query them to see if they have the egg-free vaccine. This year, because we have so many new products, there probably won't be the ramp-up this year that we'll expect for next year. But for now, you can try the flu.gov website and see if they can you can locate a local pharmacy that has the cell-free vaccine.
And good luck, Emily, and thank you for calling. I knew we'd get at least one anti-vaccine comment from a listener. This is on Facebook, and Barbie writes, please don't tell us that KQED is going to try to sell us on flu vaccinations now. The problem that we have is a lack of proper nutrition, and this is a key to strong immune systems. Getting sick is a part of life. One needs to be prepared by eating a proper diet and then taking the necessary measures once the flu hits. Homemade chicken soup, herbal tea with honey and lemon, bed rest, etc. Either of you want to comment on that?
Well, sure. I think that it is true that keeping your body healthy, eating a healthy diet, getting lots of exercise are important parts of staying healthy and preventing illness. But the most important thing we can do to prevent influenza is the influenza vaccine. This is a very, very safe vaccine. We use more than 100 million doses every year in this country, and there's tremendous amount of experience that shows that the vaccine is safe and that the benefits of vaccination in terms of preventing disease and in terms of reducing the severity of disease far outweigh the risks. And I think it's really important to point out that influenza is a serious illness, and the CDC estimates that about 25,000 people every year in this country die from influenza-related illness. So everything that we can do to prevent disease, we should be doing.
But you know, Dr. Watt, I'm looking at another question from a listener, Linda, who asked how many people who died from the flu had been vaccinated. Do we know?
Well, that's something that the CDC looks at every year and sort of does a look back to see how effective the vaccine was. And there's very good data that the vaccine does, in fact, prevent death and severe illness due to influenza. No vaccine is perfect, and a subset of folks who did get vaccinated can still go on to have influenza. But the risk is far greater if you're not vaccinated.
Well, let me read another comment from Diane on this same topic, who says, why is it so difficult to obtain statistics on how many infected victims of the flu have actually been vaccinated? In an email exchange with the California Department of Public Health, they claim that that information is not currently available. I would think that information would be easy to collect and report. Everyone assumes that a flu vaccine guarantees immunity from flu virus, but that is not necessarily true. Shouldn't we be analyzing data to determine how truly effective the flu vaccine is? I think you've implied pretty strongly, James Watt, that it's being done by the CDC all the time.
Well, what happens is that each year the CDC does collect that data and analyzes it to assess how effective the flu vaccine is. And it is very important to make sure that we know how the vaccine is working, and that we continue to strive to have the best vaccines available. But I want to point out that it's actually quite challenging to get information about the vaccination status of someone, particularly someone who's passed away. People can be vaccinated against influenza in a variety of different venues. That information may not be available in someone's medical record. They may have gone to a local pharmacy. And so before we can say that person was or wasn't vaccinated, there's a lot of investigative work that needs to be done. That takes time. We want to make sure that we do it right so that we have good information about how these vaccines are performing.
And Dr. Maldonado, here's a listener named Tom who asks on our Facebook page. He says, I was vaccinated last year. Am I still covered for H1N1, or do I need to be vaccinated again?
That's a good question. Because of the nature of these are viruses that mutate fairly rapidly. And from one year to the next, even if it's the same strain of virus, it's probably it mutated significantly from the year before, so that the coverage of last year's vaccine will probably not be sufficient to protect you from this year's strain, because there may be additional mutations. So it is recommended that one get a vaccine every year. There are efforts now to try to create a universal vaccine that would work against all strains and that would have longer-term immunity. But again, those are really just experimental at this point.
And we'll bring Kim on next. Kim, thanks for waiting. Join us on Forum. You're on.
Oh, thank goodness you have these doctors with you today. I had the flu shot in October of last year, and I'm on my third bout of the flu. I am currently on 48-hour quarantine with 4 days mandatory bed rest. I am trying to figure out, how do I protect myself from these flus that I seem to keep catching, even though I do all the sort of healthy things and germ wiping, you know, taking care of myself.
Well, she seems in some ways almost overly susceptible. Some thoughts from either you, Dr. Maldonado, or Dr. Watt?
Well, I do think that there, and again, I don't know, I'm not trying to give any specific medical advice here, but there in adults, as Dr. Watt may have pointed out, adults tend to are much more likely to have underlying illnesses, and I'm not implying that the caller does, that could predispose to influenza. About 60 to actually only about 15% of people who were reported to have flu in the last few years actually had no underlying symptoms. So it's possible that there is something else going on, and she may want to see her healthcare provider to find out a little bit more about maybe what else might be going on.
Good luck with you, Kim, and thank you for your call. And we'll get another caller on. That's Jane. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm enjoying the information that you're providing today. I have not gotten a flu shot for about 15 years because I have an underlying condition. I have rheumatoid arthritis. I'm doing extremely well with my treatment with that, and I'm hesitant to do anything that might to take a vaccination that might rev up my immune system because I'm doing so well. So far, so good, but I've been a little nervous this year with all the information about the number of deaths, and I'm 69, but very fit, very healthy, and I take a lot of precautions. So I'm just trying to weigh whether I should take the risk of not getting the flu shot or take the risk of getting a flu shot.
Who'd like to advise her here? James Watt?
Sure. Well, I'd really encourage you to talk to your doctor about precisely what you're mentioning here, and that is about what are the real risks of getting a flu shot in your particular situation and what the potential benefits might be. And I think, you know, there are lots of things that would go into that, including your overall state of health, your age, and then also other medications you might be taking that could predispose you to having a more severe case of influenza. So, you know, anybody who's got questions like these about the influenza vaccine, I always encourage them, talk to your doctor about your particular situation and think through what really are the risks and benefits for you.
And thank you for the call, Jane. And here's Nick, who writes, in the cases where people have died from the flu this year, were there steps they could have taken after coming down with the virus that would have prevented them from dying? I mean, as a general rule, can you shed some light on that, Dr. Watt?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, we actually do have medications that are effective in treating influenza. And if taken within a couple of days of getting sick, those medications can reduce the duration of illness and also reduce the risk of having severe disease. And so people who have underlying health conditions, who are at higher risk for severe disease, really need to talk to their doctor when they come down with something that might be influenza. So people who are less than age 5 or over 65, people who have underlying medical conditions, pregnant women, if you develop something that looks like the flu, if you've got fever, cough, respiratory symptoms, body aches, call your doctor and ask whether treatment would be appropriate for you.
We've got less than a minute left here. Any other advice from you, Dr. Maldonado?
Well, I think at this point in the season, it's still important to consider getting vaccinated if you haven't already done so. There's still an opportunity to be able to protect yourself because the season is not even, I don't think we're really over this. We still have several weeks to go before we would officially say the season has ended, and it's a good opportunity to try to prevent yourself from becoming ill.
On that note, we will conclude here. I want to thank Dr. Yvonne Maldonado, who joined us from the Stanford campus. She's chief of infectious disease and professor of pediatrics at Stanford and with the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital. And thanks to Dr. James Watt, who is chief of the Division of Communicable Disease Control with the California Department of Public Health. And thanks to you, our listeners, we actually have another segment for you. We're going to talk with a writer who has gotten a great deal of praise and teaches creative writing at Stanford. Molly Antebol will be joining us in the segment ahead. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.